This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashrin Johan. In 2016-2017, Chen Yiwen began working on a feature documentary film that has since been released in cinemas. However, what many do not know is that the director of that documentary, Yiwen, had to endure sexual harassment, bullying and misogyny throughout its production. Yiwen recently made a new documentary short titled The Boys Club, which has been nominated for the Busan International Short Film Festival. The Boys Club is a story of what she had to endure throughout the production of the feature-length documentary. Yiwen joins me on the show today to discuss the film. Welcome to the show, Yiwen.
Hi, Dashran. Thanks for having me on the show.
What exactly happened during the production of the feature-length documentary? What did you have to go through?
Well, so I was working on a feature documentary which took me about 4 years. And the sexual harassment happened in the second year. So I was filming alone, and then, you know, suddenly someone just came up behind me and covered my eyes. I was really scared, and obviously I had not expected that to happen. I struggled to break free because I was holding the camera in my hand, so I couldn't use my hands to push, you know, whoever was, you know, doing that to me. But when I finally broke free, I turned around and then I saw it was this guy who, you know, had been very touchy towards me. And I felt uncomfortable because, you know, I am a journalist. There should be a professional boundary. And he was laughing at me. I saw his colleague standing behind me as well, but his colleague didn't say anything and just walked off. I was really shocked and embarrassed, but I tried to continue working, even though I was shaking inside. So I texted a friend and I left. I also texted my bosses, and then I told them about it the next day. And I think just to clear up any confusion on why I'm, you know, filming a harasser, I wasn't actually filming him for the story. I was filming his colleagues, but he was just there in the background. When those, you know, like brushing my shoulder or my arms happened, it felt uncomfortable.
Right.
But I didn't think too much of it. And, you know, years later, when I looked back and, you know, some of these messages that he had sent me, it seems harmless, but, you know, it was going in that direction. Other forms of harassment continued to the end until I had to leave my job. So, you know, making a feature documentary for theatrical release is a crazy idea in Malaysia.
Right.
Some of my bosses believed in it, but my immediate boss didn't believe it or that I can raise funds for it. Why there was little support, I don't know. Maybe it's a management problem because it seems like majority of, you know, the manpower or resources were always channeled to, you know, his bros projects. And, you know, even after we had funding, the entire documentary was outsourced to freelancers. And I was the only in-house staff as the producer director. And later on, I had to fight, you know, for someone to be hired, you know, to help with the paperwork and stuff.
There was also another incident in a hotel room. What happened there?
Well, we had to travel overseas to film. Right. And we didn't have the full funding yet. Then, so I had to go earlier, and then my crew would come a few days later. So one afternoon, I was walking to my room, and my harasser just followed me into the room. I was really shocked and really terrified because I was trapped in the room alone with him. My crew wasn't there yet. There was no one there to help me. I didn't know how to ask him to leave without, you know, risking the whole production. He sat on the bed and I just sat in a chair with the door in my line of sight. I thought if he tried to do anything to me, at least maybe I can run out. He made small talk, but I just shut down. I just kept thinking, how can I get out, or if I can make it, if I have to run for the door. I remember he said something about his sex life, which made me really uncomfortable. Eventually he left. And when my crew came, I told my cinematographer, because I wanted someone on shoot with me to be aware. And he watched out for me throughout the production. I also always made sure that I kept a distance from my harasser and that he's always within my line of sight. I mean, you know, it's crazy that we have to film a documentary while watching our backs to make sure that no one jumps on the director.
How did your bosses react when you told them about these incidences?
Well, when I told them about the first incident, one of them reacted in shock, but didn't do anything. I asked the other one to follow me to confront my harassers, you know, kind of boss. And that person admitted that he saw the guy grab me, but he didn't do anything. And that it's not the first time he had this kind of complaints. Later, he sent me a text to say that he told my harasser off, promised it wouldn't happen again, and apologized to my boss. I mean, it's quite funny, right? They apologized to my boss, but not the woman who was actually harassed. And I mean, it did happen again, right, when he cornered me in the room. So I wanted to tell upper management about the harassment, but my boss said that there's no need. I mean, at the time, I didn't know why. Maybe they themselves are not trained or they didn't know what to do. But after working there for almost 5 years and observing how other women were treated, I feel that, you know, there's just little regards or empathy for well-beings. I say this because there was a female reporter who told our boss that, you know, she tried to kill herself, which is partly triggered by work. And his response to her was, go tell Wen because she is your superior. And it, I mean, how can you redirect someone who's asking for help? And right. This is not the only incident I've seen with female colleagues. And I would definitely say that, you know, a few years ago, I wasn't as empowered as I was today. So, and I just, you know, listened to them. I kept quiet because I thought they didn't take me seriously.
Right.
And I have shared with some colleagues later on, but I know I was told not to speak up because, you know, it would seem that I'm tarnishing other people's reputation, things like that. And, you know, that project had a sponsor, so there was obligation to obviously do the work and fulfill the work, right? But leaving the company, I mean, I was instructed to report to a subordinate who had threatened me before. And then an hour later, I was given a mutual separation scheme letter. So I wouldn't say that I had much choice except right. to leave the company. I mean, I was a senior executive and I was told to report to a junior reporter.
On the show with me today is Chen Yi-Wen, director of the documentary short The Boys Club. After the break, I ask her why she went through a period of self-blame. Keep it here on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Chen Yi-Wen, director of the documentary short The Boys Club. The Boys Club details the sexual harassment, misogyny and sexism that Yi-Wen had to endure while making another film. So, Wen, what propelled you to make the documentary short The Boys Club?
Well, two reasons. So after I left my previous job, I gave an interview to a foreign media in my own capacity as a filmmaker. And after the article was published, I was informed by the foreign journalist and also the Malaysian correspondent that my former boss had contacted them to make corrections to some facts in the story. I was really appalled. I remember thinking that, you know, does he think that he owns me or women? Because, I mean, you call yourself a journalist, the fourth estate or the fourth whatever. Doesn't he know that, you know, you don't go around changing other people's interviews? It's not like he's the one being interviewed and those facts were actually factually correct. And really, I mean, I've left the company, but he continued to harass me and silence me. The second reason is related to the first one. Mm-hmm. So in his effort to make work difficult for me, my former boss stopped me from working on a documentary to lobby for sexual harassment laws. And he instructed me to hand over everything to my subordinates despite my concerns for the woman survivors' privacy and confidentiality. But I was told to follow orders. So other than the footage which belongs to the company, I refused to hand anything over. And after I left, one of the women told me that she was contacted by a male reporter without her consent and without my knowledge. So this is someone that I specifically did not want at her interview filming, because in the past, he has not handled vulnerable stories with sensitivity. This woman then, you know, she told other women who I interviewed, and naturally the survivors were upset, you know, that their traumatic stories were passed around the office like it's nothing. So long story short, you know, in the end, the project was canned, and, you know, that's that. No one is held responsible. And, you know, it bothers me because this is unethical journalism. Because of personal vendetta, you completely disregarded this woman's trauma. And I feel that I owe it to the woman who revisited their trauma to share their stories. And I just wanted to finish the work I started with whatever skills and resources I have. And I guess the best way is to tell my own story of how all this came to be.
Why call the film The Boys Club?
The sexual harassment happened in the second year of the project. But leading up to the local premiere, there were a lot of demands for this and that. And I told my boss, we need to stop it, you know, stop pandering to these demands. And when we finally premiered that project locally, one would think that my troubles, so to speak, would be over and my job is done. Because the gala premiere was successful, the media raved about it, the audience loved it, you know, there was even a standing ovation in the cinema hall. Even some of the subjects themselves texted me and say thank you for making the film, they want to screen it to their family and friends. But a few days later, some of them demanded to remove some scenes. I mean, the film was given a general viewing tontonan umum by LPF censorship board without any cuts. Why did the scenes need to be removed? You have to ask the people who demanded it and actually removed it. And then my bosses told me it was not a documentary and it was my fault that this happened because I didn't show the film to the subjects for approval before completing. And, you know, this expectation didn't apply to any other work I did in all the years I was there at the company until then. And, you know, at most, we only show portions which needs clarification, which I have done so. And I've worked with other media. No one else has such policy or practice. And really, unless something is factually incorrect, we don't make edits. That experience was very damaging, and it took me about a year to recover from all the gaslighting. And then there was also this issue that the director is a woman. I mean, the project went on for 4 years and someone missed the memo that it's a female director. The people who made the most noise are actually the ones that were not featured in the film. My boss told me not to confront them because he was afraid of provoking them. And they only listened to whatever the man said and disregarded all the documentation, video, photo evidence I provided. They just insisted on their version of their narrative. This is why I made The Boys Club from actual messages and conversations, because journalists should base our arguments on facts and data and not just hearsay and he say. So, you know, maybe it's apt to name my film The Boys Club because when they played the censored version on TV instead, they promoted the film with the men only and totally cut off the director. My former boss had instructed that I cannot do anything with the film. Even when our cinema distributor and marketing partners contacted me, I couldn't say anything to them. They also used the film to get donation from a corporate company where I was the alumni of their film program. And HR tells me that they take my sexual harassment complaint seriously.
Now, the opening credits to the film opened rather spine-chillingly to a song with the lyrics, "I'm a nice guy, a very nice guy." Talk to me about the decision to use this song.
So the title of the song is "Male Gaze" by my friend Stan Shidiam. And the lyrics are actually online comments. I think the line "I'm a nice guy" is very apt because, frankly speaking, how many times have we heard this defense that oh, I know him, he's a nice guy, so it's impossible that he harassed someone when, you know, a woman speaks up against a perpetrator, right? And I just want to share this anecdote about this whole nice guy notion. Before I became a journalist, I worked in a TV production house. In 2019, when I was working on that sexual harassment story, this woman freelancer told me that one of my ex-colleagues, this producer, had touched her breast, right? And from there, I tracked down another woman freelancer who told me this same guy had groped her. And she said to me, who would believe her? Because no one saw it, and he was this nice church-going Bible school guy. And I agree with her. You know, most people who know him would probably say he's soft-spoken, gentle, nicest guy, whatever. This is someone that I would have lunch or coffee with every day for almost 3 years that I was there. He was my friend at work. He was someone I confided in about work. I would even give him rides home when it gets too late because he doesn't drive. But the fact remains, he is a predator. I think we really need to change our mindset. Predators don't have, you know, a predator stamp on their foreheads. Right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that every nice guy is a creep, but just don't use this he's a nice guy defense when a woman speaks up. You know, maybe he's a nice guy to you, but he wasn't a very nice guy to another woman or person.
I want to ask you about a powerful image that plays throughout the film. A lady is in a swimming pool and she keeps swimming and swimming, but is unable to escape. Talk to me about this choice.
I feel the calmness when I'm in water, and that's what helped me through all those years. But also that 4 or 5 years of my life felt like breathing underwater. I would literally wake up at nights feeling unable to breathe. You know, the Boys Club only details the events after we've raised the funds, but in the first year where I had to raise the entire budget almost single-handedly, that is a whole other story or struggle. I guess what I tried to do with a feature documentary as a woman in this country, it is swimming against the tide.
You mentioned in the film that you went through a period of self-blame. Why exactly did you blame yourself?
I think I was trying to justify what happened. And, you know, like that if I didn't do this project, then I wouldn't have been in all those, you know, places, and then I wouldn't been harassed. But I've since learned that, you know, I'm just doing my job, and no one should be harassed for doing their job and while doing their job. To be honest, there was so many things going on, and I don't think there was really a time to process all of it. You know, I just had to put everything aside and, you know, do the work until the end. And yes, when the end happened, I think that's only when I could start to process a little bit of stuff. And I would say that I'm still processing it today. Yeah, I've never encountered anything like this, you know, in all my years of making documentaries or, you know, even working in other newsrooms.
Now, whenever there are sexual harassment or assault cases, a lot of people tend to say things like, why didn't she say anything? Why didn't she yell? Why didn't she complain to HR or the bosses? Now, the assumption here is that victims or survivors are naive and they lack agency. What do you think these people don't understand about sexual harassment, especially in a professional setting?
You know, whenever someone says to me, like, why didn't this person report to the police immediately, right? Because this is the law, right? My response is, do you think it's as mechanical as reporting a car accident within 24 hours so you can claim insurance, right? We have to recognize that someone had just gone through immense shock and trauma, and they are expected to retell what happened to a total stranger. Right. And in some cases, the survivors blocked out the memory to protect themselves. Maybe they can only deal with it years later or sometimes never. I think sexual harassment or violence is a very uncomfortable and difficult topic for many people. I think there's not enough training and education on how to respond or what to do to be supportive. I'm still learning myself, but there are experts and resources out there. So go and educate yourself. And I think this is really important because when I pitched the Boys Club to my executive producers, I told them, if you sat down in a room full of women, I bet you every single woman would have a sexual harassment story to tell, whether it happened to them or someone they know. It could be something seemingly harmless like catcalling or the worst end of it, sexual assault. It is so common and rampant, and it really should not be a normal occurrence. And, you know, I made this film on a very low budget when I was getting help to make a film. Women had told me that they had similar experiences, so they think it's important to make this film. And on International Women's Day, I posted the trailer online, and this programmer from overseas reached out to ask if I would consider screening at their festival. And then she told me she had been assaulted before. I took a lot of risks in making this film and by choosing to speak up. But when women come forward and share these kind of stories with me, I know that I'm doing the right thing.
All right, before we wrap this conversation up, when and how can people watch or support this film?
Well, after our world premiere in Busan, we hope that it will go on to play in other festivals to reach a wider audience, mm-hmm. to tell our Malaysian stories, our women's stories. But my executive producers and I also want to make the film available as a educational and training toolkit with expert guidance and knowledge for workplaces, organizations, and institutions. So we welcome anyone who wants to host screenings, forums, or panel discussions. And this is not just limited to Malaysia, because I'm working with an Indonesian impact producer to run a similar campaign in Indonesia and hopefully regionally. And part of our impact campaign is also to lobby for a more comprehensive and survivor-centric anti-sexual harassment bill. You can and should engage with your member of parliament, write to them, tell them your concerns, lobby them to review the bill which is being tabled in the parliament.
Would you have a final message for us?
Don't be a bystander and an enabler. If you do, you've already taken the side of an aggressor.
On that note, thank you so much for speaking with me today, Wen.
Thank you for having me on the show.
That was Chen Yi Wen. She's a director of the documentary short The Boys Club, which has been nominated at the Busan International Short Film Festival. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcast from. I'm Dashran Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.